those meetings on time and do your job if you're still working. That's pretty critical stuff to do. And you're a motivator, a coach, and a model. Sometimes you're asked to be the coach. You're expected to be a motivator in some cases, and that's always the hardest thing, but that's what reports are for, and knowing that the clubs in your district are for, you can then motivate and point out the things that they're doing well. Because you can't improve from weakness. You can only improve from strength. So whatever things you're doing well, that's what we take as your baseline now, and you move that into what things you can learn from that and create some new learning from that. And you are a model. Unfortunately, you don't get to choose. You know, you can't say, well, I don't want to be a model today. I was up late last night. That doesn't work at all. You're a model because you're there. And the model should be one that's efficient, crisp, has lots of energy, and lots of information to give. Okay, so what does that mean in the end? Well, it means in the end that we have to provide, you know, from the GLT side, we have to provide these zone chair people with a lot of training. And there is training online. You can do your zone chairman's training, chairperson's training online. There are all kinds of webinars. There's a webinar in August for zone chairs, and it's recorded. You can go back and look at that if you want on the LCI site. We are supposed to do in each district a zone chair training workshop every year for our new zone chairs. I know that we ran one in the spring, and then in A16 we ran one again in the fall for those people who couldn't make it in the spring. And some of the people who were there in the spring came to that one too, so they had a little refresher. There is a zone chairperson's manual on the LCI site. You can look at that. I know some districts have produced their own, and it's sort of an amalgam of what's on the LCI site and what was the best practices in their district. And the two that I've seen from A15 and A12 look very, very good. The Lions Learning Center, there's all the Lions online courses, leadership courses, and you know, things like meeting management. You know, you have to run your own meetings, and you're going to expect it to be provide some feedback on the meetings that you see as zone chair too. And if those meetings don't run crisp, then you lose members. And it's just people don't want to hang around and do meetings anymore unless they're going to be there's going to be a reason for that meeting and it's going to be fruitful. Mentors. I have district mentors here, and we have district mentors in A16, and I know a couple of other districts at MDA have picked that up as well, and they have their mentors for every position, so they would have mentors for their zone chairs as well. Funny enough, though, you know, some of the mentoring comes from club presidents upwards and not just from region chairs and governors downwards. You know, the mentoring goes both ways. And so zone chairs should be looking for people who do a good job because they have to replace themselves. And they can use those people as their mentors, either up or down, either way. So that's information pieces. Now, I don't know if anybody out there has a question on any of the things I just presented, because that's a lot of information really, really quickly. I know our zone chairs training goes for a whole day. So in 10 minutes, you got the whole training session right there. So if there's any questions, maybe I can answer those for you.
Tom, there's a question from Chris Tonge. He's the he's a zone chair from A12.
And, must be a good guy then.
Yes. He asked, with the zone chair being such an important link between the clubs and the district, should the term not be 2 years? Because it takes a year to develop relationships and to create effective plans.
Well, you know, according to our constitution, it's only a one-year term, but just like club presidents, I know that a lot of zone chairs are serving two terms and some more than that. Should it be two years? I'm not sure. I know that some guys do a really good job just coming in and working the zone chair because they've been around for a while, and some people need a year to learn the job. And, you know, you would think you'd have an assistant zone chair and then have a zone chair and then an assistant region chair and then have a region chair, and that would give you 2 years. But that's not the way our organization is set up. I would agree, you know, I would have loved to do my job for 2 years when I was zone chair. That would have been great. In my district, I was allowed to do the same kinds of things as a region chair, though, so I really did get to do that over two.
I know when I was a zone chair, it took me to about May before I think I really truly knew what my job was.
Oh dear.
and I think, you know, and I think I could have done a much better job if I had done a second term of it, but you're right, I think I did some as a region chair as well. So
yeah, Yeah, and I would agree, you know, but some of us didn't become zone chairs until we've been a lion for, you know, a good length of time. I was a lion for 20 years before I became a zone chair, so I was pretty well versed on what the job should be, and I had great mentors. I was very lucky. I had good mentors.
Let's see, are there any other questions in the queue here? So, let's see here. Nope, there's another one.
There's a couple more coming in, Chris.
There's a couple more coming in right now.
Thanks, Tim.
No, I don't have them yet, Tim. Okay, here they come.
So we have one from George. It says,
Yeah, I see it now. So zone chair expected to go to district meetings but has no budget to go. How can we work on that solution, that problem?
Again, some districts do provide mileage and budget for zone chairs to go to meetings. Some districts will pay for the meals. But again, all of the expenses that are covered by the zone chair and the district meetings have to come out of district dues. And so if you're going to have a number of expenses that way, then you're going to have to raise your dues to cover that. So you're going to have to play that off. You know, are your members willing to bump their dues up so they can pay for that? Or do we just expect our district officers to pay their own expenses? I know in my district, we expect our district officers to pay their own expenses. And so far, we've been able to do that.
Okay. We had another question from David Mills. Is it possible to massage the stipulation that a zone chair must come from a particular zone?
Is it possible? Well, it's certainly happening, so I guess it is possible. I know that we have people within the same region are zone chairs, even though they don't come from a club in that region or that zone. Sorry. Is it possible? Yeah, I guess it is. I don't know how much cred you get if you're out of the zone. I think you get more cred in the zone if you're from one of the clubs in that zone. But that would be a natural credit. But maybe, you know, you have the personality to pull that off, but you're going to have something a little bit extra, I would think, if you're not from within the zone.
And I think that sometimes leads to be maybe a leadership development concern too within the zone. Are we not reaching out to those people within the zone to become effective leaders and to want to be part of our association at a leadership level like that?
Oh, exactly, Chris. I know. We've had some talks on succession, yeah, and how to build those people in, and we're looking for them all the time. You know, how do we have somebody take our own place? And then should we be looking down the line, you know, if you're a governor, should you be looking down the line for somebody to be the next second vice district governor? You know, if you're the region chair, should you be looking for people to be the next region chair? Zone chair should be looking to be for people to be the next zone chair within their zone. But maybe we should go farther than that. I mean, maybe we should have sort of a drop-down list and a profile of leadership. And I know LCI has this on their site now. They have a profile that you can use for your leaders within your district. And you can start now to mentor those districts based on their profile if you start to work them up.
Muted. Unmuted.
Better, is there?
Okay, do you have any other questions?
On the line there. I don't know what's going on.
Hello.
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 Hello. Hello. It's Bob Tanner speaking.
Hiya, Bob.
I finally got here.
Hiya, Council Chair.
In our district, one of the things that the PDGs are to do is to identify candidates for chairs positions like zone chair.
Right.
And start to mentor them early, mm-hmm, and promote being a zone chair and tell them what their assets are and why they think they should be a zone chair, because a lot of people really don't believe that they can handle that job or do that job. So that's part of the responsibility of our past district governors.
Yeah, we've had this discussion before, you and I, Bob, and I know that that's, you know, sort of how I got to do the job, was that a past district governor became my mentor and said, you know, you really should be working at the district level now. We really need you to get working on being a zone chair and then a region chair and work your way up to governor. So without me even being club president at that point, they were looking down the line for me because they thought I might have had those skills. And that was a big motivator for me as well as the instructional part of it.
Okay, Tom, we have a question by First Vice Bill Michi. I'm going to unmute him. Go ahead, Bill.
I'm having a little trouble hearing you, Bill. I know you're speaking. I can hear some mumbling going on, but I can't make it.
Hello, Bill? No, we're not hearing you too well. You might have to type in your question.
No, I can't hear him, Chris.
No. No, we can't hear you, Bill. No, sorry, Bill, we can't catch you unless you can type your question in. Well, Tom, we can always come back to Bill either later on in the Q&A section. So,
right. Okay.
Does anyone else have any other questions? Okay. Thanks a lot, Tom, for taking the time.
Oh, thank you, Chris.
Okay. So, Terry, you're up.
I'm going to get my microphone unmuted here. First of all, Chris, let me thank yourself and Tim for setting this up. I know we've been working on this for the last month and trying to accommodate everybody at a certain time, and I think 8 o'clock with being in the east and being across Canada, being a little earlier in the west, obviously, and a little later in the east coast, it worked out fairly well for us, and hopefully we'll get a little bit of feedback via email for that particular thing. You know, if it is a good time, but I think it's a first time we're doing this, and I believe that as a working group across Canada's Canadian Lions, we can have an opportunity to share some experiences and to share some best practices. Maybe what works in one area will be very beneficial for another area that's not working as well. One of the reasons that we're probably pushing this a little forward into the end of November, middle of November, we are having, as some of us know, that we're going to Winnipeg for a summit on the first weekend in December, and we'd like to get a kind of a baseline on where we are with Zone Chairman. I know I've had very good discussions with past Council Chairman Tom, some of the other district governors and past governors on how each of the districts handle their zone meetings, what's going on at zone meetings, who's attending zone meetings, and that sort of thing. And I thought if we got a baseline and some of the criteria that I believe would be very important for us as leadership going forward and establishing some best practices for the whole country or whatever works in your area. One of the things that I found when I was doing some reviews on our GMT-GLT portal, just in the CEP end of the business, where Canada has had 8 CEPs across the country to date with in various versions of CEP, Light and CEP Pro, the Club Excellent Process, and we've in the United States they've had 181. Now I know they're a larger country, and in the past we've basically been 10 to 1. We were 10 times the population in the United States, so our membership has been basically 10 to 1 to theirs. And I found that with the CEP, we should be having probably 18 or 20 CEPs as compared to the United States. And as I've commented a couple of times to our leadership, that I feel that the United States have done remarkably well up to this date with their membership. They're down about in my last numbers around 1,500, 1,550, which is exceptional. It's such a vast improvement. I'm wondering if CDP is part of that reason, why they're really expanding very well down there. But we need to do a kind of a baseline report. I've asked Chris to kind of set up a little bit of a poll or a survey that we can do, and I'm not sure if we can get that up now, Chris, or not. What we're trying to do in the first section, the first part of this, is to kind of establish on the percentage of the club officers that should be at Zoom meetings. I don't mean the rank and file of the Lions. I mean the people, the key people that should be the president, secretaries, and the first vice president. Their requirements to be at a zone advisory meeting, district governor's advisory meeting, the membership chairman should be there. But I always found that when I did one zone meeting here in Canada, or in north of me, in District A3, and there should have been approximately 18, with six clubs, there should have been 18 key people there, and I found there was only about seven there. And I found that rather disturbing that, yes, there was 35 or 40 people at the zone meeting, but there was only seven of the key people there that actually have the, let's say, the desire or the leadership ability to go back to the club and implement some of the suggestions that were coming on at the zone meeting. So I found that rather disturbing that we're down. So I'm kind of wondering if we can take kind of a little bit of a poll here, a survey, to see what kind of, and this is something I know we don't have zone people here, but I'm hoping that a lot of the GMT people, GLT people that go to zone meetings have an opportunity to be able to review some of the information and get back to us and see where we are with this. And I see the quick poll, the percentages come up here, as everybody can see on the screen. We're looking at some numbers here that, half of our people, less than half, there's probably 80% or more of the people that are coming, but it's the numbers that are down below that. You know, a quarter of our clubs are less than 50%, and one-fifth of our clubs are less than 40%, so, or our districts, I mean. So, you know, I think that's a little bit of a concern for us that we're not really getting the correct people or the right people at the zone meetings, and why that is, and we may be able to discuss some of the reasons why that is. I think the advent of our email situation seems to be, let's get an email out and that cures everything. And I think, as everybody knows, that doesn't cure everything. We're in a position where emails don't get answered, or, oh, well, the zone chairman's not really serious about us coming to the meeting. Yeah, we have an agenda, but nobody made a phone call to come there. So I think we really have to analyze where we are with this particular stats and the numbers we have, and we'll take those to Winnipeg. Chris, if you can forward them on to me when we're done with the meeting here, or actually just bring them to Winnipeg when we go. And I think we can take a little bit more serious look at what the issue may be and how we're going to be able to cure that particular problem with us. So if we can move on a little bit more to the next one here. This is going to be on the percentage of, or what the primary focus of zone, on the zone meetings, and what the focus should be. And I think we can take a couple minutes just to review some of those areas there. I think Tom, when he was talking about his particular zone, he was talking about how they had a chance to do some breakout leadership training and stuff, and I think that's an excellent idea, where your presidents can get together, your secretaries and first vice presidents can get together, and membership chairs, and have an opportunity to talk with those particular individuals. Obviously, with other people in the zone meeting, they can get together and add their comments and become involved, and what the discussion is. But activities and fundraising reports seem to be the main activity there in the zone meetings. And we're surprised that social is at zero, but that's something that happens. And I'm happy to see that, you know, over almost 40% of our our zone chairman and are discussing some of the membership challenges and successes that they have, and I think that's really key to us to do that. So that's an interesting factor, interesting statistics that we're pulling out of there. You know, half of it's activity and fundraising reports, which is great. And again, membership challenges and successes, I think they need to be developed in every zone meeting and be able to report back to their clubs what challenges they're having and how they can really be able to resolve those things. One of the things I find very interesting is when we get into talking about challenges of membership and successes and how to do that, I find that a lot of the times the clubs really don't know how to resolve some of the challenges. Some of the zone chairmen aren't up to speed on what's available through LCI and different things through the leadership websites, and also what can be developed through the clubs as far as the club excellent process and how are your ratings and just ask programs and all of those things. I don't think the zone chairmen are really up to speed on all of those things, and that's an area I think we really have to work on. The third area I wanted to kind of get a little bit of a survey from as your zone chairman is the use of the Club Excellent Award. I think that that's a lost. I had an interesting conversation with AP Singh, who is our global membership or our global membership team leader from India, who's worldwide, and I had a very interesting discussion with him in Chicago when we were there. And I asked him, with the Club Excellent Award, I said, how many clubs in Canada would really qualify for the Club Excellent Award? And he kind of thought for a minute, and he couldn't really give me a definitive answer on where it was, but he said worldwide, he said he'd be very surprised if the total was more than 20%. And I think if the worldwide was 20%, we would take the average in that. And that's pretty a pretty dismal number when the Club Excellent Award would actually give every club in our district an opportunity to be, you know, 100% club, is what we used to call the 100% president. And all of those criteria, if they were met, would be very interesting to see how our membership would be based on that after it was done. So if Chris, I think do we have a slide on that one? Isn't that an interesting stat that everybody can see? And probably if you look at my numbers when I said that 20% of the clubs would not qualify for one, I think pretty well verifies that with the no answer being 75%, we're pretty close to where the national or the worldwide average would be. And I think that's one of the areas that we're going to have a very serious look at when we're in Winnipeg and how we can strengthen that section of our association to be able to get a little more people doing that particular thing, the leadership doing it, because, you know, if you really look down the criteria, what's involved with the Club Excellent Award and, you know, donations to LCIF and being a plus one at the end of the year and doing officer training, everything that really needs to be built up in strengthening the Lions Club and strengthening the zone and then follow through to be strengthening the district, I think that's one of the most key areas that we have, and it's a very interesting stat. I'm glad we put that up on the screen. I do realize that, you know, we've asked you in the last few days for GMT people to kind of review some of the things. I know some of you haven't been to all of the zones and can't really comment on everything that's going on in your district, but I think as you go to different zone meetings, and hopefully when we get done a webinar like we're doing tonight, that you'll be able to key in on a few of the areas that we've discussed here in these different polls we've had for the last three. I know in our particular zone, we've made up a list of every club, and every club has the president, the secretary, and the first vice president and the membership chair to sign in a special location so that we'll be able to be able to identify that very easily and do a very quick check on how many people we've had out of the critical people that should be there. So I think it's important that we be able to analyze some of the information we've got here on the last three polls we've been able to do. And we're going to definitely take that information to Winnipeg at the summit we have. It's given us a very good baseline on some of the discussion we've had. I know that I've talked to Patty Hill and on the leadership side, and they're concerned about the number of CEPs that we've got going on in Canada and doing that sort of thing. So, you know, I think a lot of the times when I look at the numbers we have and the recent poll we've just done here, that I look at what's being reported to Cabinet. You know, are our governors asking what should be reported to Cabinet? Are they asking their zone chairman to give us a percentage of how many people are, or maybe the zone chairman should just report that I have 75 or 80 or 90% of my zone advisory committee there, the presidents, first vice presidents and secretaries, and I'm working on, I got five of my clubs that are on board for the Club Excellent Award, and I've only had two, and I'm working on them to get them up to speed. I think that's critical information that the district governor should be required to ask their zone chairman to report at cabinets. And I think that if we can do some of those things, I think we'll be able to move forward a little better in our developing of the more leadership ability for our zone chairman.
Terry, we just had
any questions from that.
Yeah, we had a comment in the chat box, Terry, and it said, I found that modesty in reporting the Club Excellence Award, I had to personally call several clubs to get them to apply. As governor, I could see who was reporting and their participation level. So I think that means that there was a little bit of embarrassment sometimes by club presidents or whatever to apply for the Club Excellence Award.
Is that a common thing that they're, and again, I find this maybe with our, I find this sometimes we're doing workshops and developing workshops for extension workshops that the district is afraid to ask for help in those areas, and if that's the case, then with the reporting for the Club Excellent Award, maybe they're just embarrassed. They don't know what the criteria really is.
Well, you know, lots of districts promote it as part of their zone chair's presentation. They promote that thing, but I wonder if the club members know exactly what's in it. They just say, here's the Club Excellence Award, but do they know what's in it? I just hold it up and walk away. So maybe that should be done.
I know Tom and Jean does her global membership presentations in our district, that she actually prints out a copy of the Club Excellent Award criteria and gives it to each of the, through the zone chairman, to give it to each of the club presidents and start going over some of the things that need to be done and maybe have a discussion on it. And that's a very good start to do that.
Well, that's awesome. That's awesome. I wish I had thought of that.
I'm sure you probably have.
No, I haven't. No.
There was another comment put in the chat box that as governor, I sent out the application to all clubs in District A1.
Awesome. Mm-hmm.
And again, I could appreciate that, and I think. For the governor to take the initiative to start sending that out, but I believe that there should be a follow up of the program at the zone level. And the sending out of that information is great, and we just need to do maybe a little more follow up in that.
I agree with you, Terry.
Yeah, me too.
Okay, do we have any other questions for Terry? Okay, thanks a lot, Terry, and I'll definitely save those poll results for you for Winnipeg. So.
Mm-hmm. Does anybody else find those results kind of interesting? Brian, what do you think of those?
Get unmuted here. Yeah, Terry, I think it certainly reflects on what your discussion was with AP. Same. Certainly the last one is right on. And it's, I think, can be a tremendous impetus for club development, both the leadership and membership.
Right, right.
Well, I agree with that. I think that's it's a good starting point for us, and I think that's one of the things that we can really focus on when we're in Winnipeg and bring back to some maybe some good suggestions.
Exactly.
Okay, we have a question from Carl Young. I'm going to unmute him.
Thank you, Chris.
Carl, I only have the webinar scheduled till 9:30.
That's very good, Chris. I think you've been doing a good job of filling up the time yourself.
Okay.
I think it's absolutely obvious to anybody that's ever done anything involving sales, right, or motivational, that it is up to us, I would think all of us, but primarily GLT, to start actually promoting both the Club Excellence and the District Excellence Awards. Because I think if we all think about it a little bit, whether it's called the Club Excellence or the 100% President's Award, doesn't really matter. The only people who tend to know what the incremental items that go towards achieving that award are, the President, the Secretary, the Governor, Cabinet Secretary, Treasurer, whatever. And I think there's just a general lack of awareness across a large part of our Lions organization. And I think that's something that is incumbent on us to bring to their attention. Because if we do bring it to their attention, just the doing of it will increase the efficiency of so many clubs. We're not doing them a service if we don't bring the terms of those excellency awards to their attention. Thank you.
Hey, thank you.
So I wonder, Chris, if we couldn't go back now and poll all our zone chairmen and chairpersons and see if they're actually using that check as a checklist. I mean, this came from the people involved in the webinar. We don't have a lot of zone chairs with us tonight, so that may have changed that outcome there. Chris, did we lose you?
Oh, there I am. I know in my district we don't have a lot of zone chairs using the Club Excellence process or awarded as a checklist. So I definitely think it's something we got to go back to and work with our own zone chairs.
Yeah, I wish I had thought of that. I never thought to use it as a checklist. I asked zone chairs to share it. But I don't know that they actually shared the contents. They just said, this is what it is.
I think the biggest checklist that we could use, Tom, is actually reporting to Cabinet and having the district governor ask the zone chairman to report that as part of their report.
And exactly. That
would be a definite checklist for me. If I was a zone chairman, I'd say, boy, my governor is really serious about this. I better get on the ball here and see what I can do.
Yeah, I can see it being used there very, very efficiently. Yeah.
Now, there's a question from David Mills, and he says, I would assume they use the zone chairperson report rather than the Club Excellence Award, and absolutely, I think they should be, right?
Yeah, and in some respects, they're similar. I mean, they're not all that different from each other.
You know, but I think just from a normal sort of follow-up and working and supporting club presidents, if they just sort of pulled out that Club Excellence Award and said, hey, you know, maybe there's a couple of things that we're missing here from what is a healthy club.
Exactly. Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
I think one of the things they would do to me anyway would be to say, as a group of presidents sitting there, that boy, I'm really having trouble getting my my plus one, or I'm having trouble with an activity, or my club officer training, or whatever. And I think that would bring that to the forefront. And you know, just a simple fact of how are we going to handle the LCIF contribution that's required from every club on that report. And it's very simple. Just, you know, let's just put it in the budget every year.
Right, right. And it doesn't have to be a big contribution. I mean, it's not. There's no dollar value on it.
We do $100 every year in our club, and it's in our budget. It's mailed every year for our president.
Right. Yeah, and see, I don't think that's doable for most clubs. I don't think too many clubs would have difficulty doing $100.
No, and I think that's a good start. That's one of the items picked off right off the bat.
Well, muted. Unmuted.
I know when I was reviewing Club Excellence Awards last year with my club presidents, I found there was a good chunk of them that, you're right, had not even made a donation to LCIF, and that was a nice, that was almost the gimme one in some ways, right?
Yeah.
I believe so. It's a good starting point. No doubt about that. And, I think there's almost, in my area, district, you know, in NMDA, I don't think there's any of our districts that don't have a club officer training. And, you know, the opportunities there for each of the clubs to do that, whether they actually send somebody or not, it's entirely up to them, of course, but we do offer that particular training for them, so that should be another easy check-off point for them.
Yeah, so I know within the district that we did training, and we put the criterion in with the training materials, but I don't think we made the point that they should be bringing that up to each of the clubs, so maybe that's something for GLT to keep in mind next time we get together with our contemporaries across the multiple district.
You're right. You know, there's actually a couple of questions I have here from before. George Cherney was looking for the actual numbers for MDN as of October, and I have them right in front of me here. So it was 56.97, George. And Bill Meachie's question to Tom that we couldn't hear earlier was about, Tom, your comment about second vice governors and zone chairs finding replacements for themselves.
Right.
And he feels, but aren't first vice governors building their own cabinets?
Yeah, they're building cabinets, but what I'm thinking is for our zone chairman, you know, if the position is going to last for a year, then they should be looking during that year for somebody to replace them. But maybe that should happen farther up the line. So, you know, maybe the governor's team should be looking for zone chairs in each of the zones. And maybe the second vice or first vice should be given that responsibility to look down into the membership for those positions that are coming up behind them. And so if our second vice district governors need somebody to come out of that region chair or zone chair pool to take their spot too. So everybody should be looking down the line in order to see who can replace them, and maybe farther down the line to see who can replace maybe two or three positions below the one they're in.
You're right. Okay, I have a question in the queue, and it's from a zone chair, and says, one official visit, very little time to review a club health report, governor's mission, learning and training opportunities, conventions, and also observe what's going on. It might get a little bit long-winded. What sort of suggestions do you have to, be able to achieve a bunch of things during an official visit as a zone chair without it taking 12 hours?
Well, I think if you're the zone chair, you have to put together your own presentation to do this with. Whether or not you're going to use any other kind of assistive device, you want to use any video or PowerPoints or Prezi or whatever you're going to use, or just a stand-up and a handout or something like that. But your presentation should involve all of those things. And most clubs, at least clubs in the districts that I'm comfortable with and used to, I would give the zone chair 15 minutes to present and then 5 minutes for questions. And I found a lot of times that I had my 15 minutes to present was enough time to do all those things. And then the questions would go maybe a little bit longer than the 5 minutes, you know.
You're right.
Yeah, I don't think you want to get confused with some of the things we're talking about at an actual zone meeting as compared to an official club visit.
Right.
And I think it's, you know, the club visit obviously would be to promote our international president's theme and to be able to work some of his talk into that related to the club and, you know, strengthening the pride, you know, through their club and everything else.
Yeah. And so I was looking at that as the zone chair doing his presentation at a club. Were you talking about the presentation at a cabinet meeting?
Well, I took the question more as when the zone chair is visiting a club on his official visit.
Yeah, that's what I took it as, too.
And I also think they need to, a good zone chair needs to coordinate with the governor to make sure that there's not duplication of some of the things, too. If the governor is speaking on something in a month or so, maybe we don't need to hit on it. So.
And that's direction from the governor, though, too, right?
Yeah, you're right. I have Carl Young raising his hand. I'll just unmute him for a sec. Okay, Carl. Carl, are you there? Guess not. Carl?
Hello. Yes. Yes. I couldn't hear you, Chris.
Oh, you're unmuted. You raised your hand.
Oh, two very brief things, Chris. One was the LCIF contribution towards the Club Excellence Award. It may have changed in the last two or three years, but very definitively about 4 years ago, no limit was placed on it, just so that every club could qualify for the Club Excellence Award, would not be hindered in achieving it because they couldn't give $100 or $200 or $50. That was all.
Okay.
That was a major consideration in reviewing that condition.
Okay, thanks, Carl. Now, there was a follow-up question to by George Cherney about the number of members in MDN, and he was asking if there are any new clubs, but Brian, you mentioned earlier on there's one new club coming up soon? Or maybe Terry would know?
Yes, I know that the in N3, George, there's a club being developed in Triton. It actually just finished, and I was talking to the governor and the media pass governor, Chris, and they're looking in the Appleton area, which is very close to the same area in the northern part of New Brunswick. And I know in St. John's area, they're looking at a club in one of the areas just north of them, and I know there's another club that they're looking at it that hadn't had a club before, and they're doing that. So quite hopefully we'll have a couple of there. I haven't had a chance to talk to district governor from Sangster, from Susan from N1, or I haven't had a chance to talk to Governor Frank, and I know that in right up in Pugwash, which is kind of a little bit north of Toro in that area there, they looked at a club last year, did a organizational meeting there, and they weren't successful where they're going to go back and review that area or go into that area. I'm not too sure, so I'm not too familiar with their plans for the two, but I'll be talking to, or Brian actually will be talking to Susan this weekend, and I'll be talking to Frank over the next couple of days to see if I can get a hold of him. I realize when I'm trying to call these individuals, them are working during the day, and then they're out doing visitations at night at this time of year, so it's very tough to touch base with them.
Right.
There's another couple of comments here. We have Joanne Swanson says she uses the club health assessment as a tool for zone chairs to monitor clubs and use as a chance to communicate with clubs having problems. Are there any other tips to use this tool? I think it's a great tool, and it allows you to focus on a few of the key areas about club success and club health, you know, not just financial, but are they bringing in new members? Are they declining? Are they growing? And, you know, I think it's a good conversation starter and can let you target the clubs in your zone and focus on the two or three that maybe need the most help and maybe a little bit more follow-up, in my opinion.
Yeah, LCIF contributions are on there, too.
You're right. So it's kind of like a snapshot of a lot of the things that would be on a Club Excellence Award.
Right. Reports and how long they have not done a report or they have done a report, officers that don't have emails, those kinds of things.
You're right. There's also a good comment from David Mills. He said when he was a zone chair, he would contact the club in advance of his visit to see if there was anything they wanted from him. And he would also send them a blank copy of the zone chair report so they knew what he would be looking at and discussing.
Oh, what a great...
We lose you, Tom? Are there any other questions or comments about zone chairs and what they can do to effectively meet some of the things that GLT and GMT are working on? Tim Holmes reports there's some audio issues. Hey, can anyone hear me? Can you hear me?
Hello, Chris.
Hey, I'm back.
Hey. Oh, there we go.
Was that you or me? I'm on the telephone now. Was that your problem or mine?
No, it just looks like audio was lost everywhere, it looks like.
Oh, okay. So. I thought it was mine, so I phoned. Yep. I'm on the telephone now. So
I was just about to pick up the phone and phone it in. So.
Okay. There's audio on that now.
Okay, now I got about 15 questions back now. So, most of them all say about there's no audio, there's no audio, there's no audio. No. Okay.
Okay, we got it now.
Okay, I've got one from 5M13 from Chad. Says when DGEs are reviewing and creating zones, they really need to ensure they're physically manageable. Unfortunately, he's about 3 hours away from his furthest club, but it's the way the zone is set up. So it's really right. Kind of unfair to that club, so it's really difficult to attend a meeting if they can't plan it in advance. So.
Yeah, that's difficult.
Always a problem. Yeah.
Okay. That's difficult, and I know the DGEs, when they go to set them up, they have a lot of criteria they're looking at to set up a zone, and one of them is the number of members, and certainly geography should be part of that, but you know, we know that it, up there in that northern part of Ontario, northwestern part of Ontario, the clubs are pretty far apart anyway.
Yeah. Judge Brian added a comment in too, and he says, do all clubs set a membership growth target for the year? He believes they really should, and it should be monitored at each zone meeting, and have GMT and GLT as standing zone meeting agenda items.
Oh, for sure. I would agree.
I know in District A3 we're working quite hard on trying to get every club to have their zone, or have their club goals written down and be able to present them to the GMT and GLT people along with the clubs at the zone meetings to make sure that everybody knows what's going on.
And on that point, Terry, I think that there's room to have competition, you know, within the zone or between the zones about membership growth. And the creation of awards, like Art Woods has a membership growth award in his district.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know if OJ's still on the line or Denis is on the line tonight, but boy, A15 has some really neat things they do with membership growth goals.
They have remarkable success in the number of clubs percentage-wise in the district that actually do their zone or do their goals for each club.
Right. They've been doing it for a while too.
And I think that's the key, is that if you do it last year, you'll do it this year.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're more likely, I guess. I don't know.
Let's hope. But anyways, I think that's a very key point of having the goal set. And one of the things we're doing in our district, just as a start, we're trying to get each zone that has a club that is less than 20 to take it upon themselves to get their membership built up to 20. And if we start with one club in a zone, then maybe next year we can do another club. So hopefully we'll use all the tools that are available through LCI to be able to build that membership up. But again, it's like anything else, they want to be, the club has to want to do it before it's going to be done.
Right.
We have a couple other questions. Eleanor was asking, how can we access the recording of the session? Well, it's being recorded right now, and I'm probably going to ask Ted if he can put it up on the MDA site.
Awesome.
It's all down, and then we can download it afterwards. So,
other multiples could get that off our site pretty easily.
Exactly. So, and then David Mills asks, how can we access some resources to help clubs whose areas are experiencing significant shifts in demographics? And you know, I bet you that's the young member thing that they're looking for.
Right.
There's a great resource called the Young Adult Recruiting Guide available from LCI, and I just ordered about 50 of them for my own district, and free of charge, of course. And they're a great resource, and they really like looking at them and using some of the information in it. Some of the things that were really brought up by some of the clubs I've been doing workshops in my own district is that, you know, we have to be careful about some of the older traditions that we have in our association, because it sometimes scares people. They're also, and David also comes on more about ethnic shifts, and you know, here in Central Ontario, I don't have a lot of ethnic shifts, but some of the areas out west definitely would, and around Toronto, I would think. So.
Well, I know that A16, and David's in A16, but he's in the northern end of it, and it's pretty homogeneous up there. But down in the south end, wow, I mean, you go to Markham, it's supposed to be the most ethnically mixed community in North America. And that's certainly something you have to look at for that part of your district.
Okay, we have a... let's see, we have a hand raised by OJ. I'll just unmute him. Okay, OJ, go ahead.
Thank you, gentlemen. Just a few things here. We still do the club plans, and we expect them to turn them over to our membership and club growth team leader, who's part of the GMT. But in regards to our zone chairs, we kind of nicely asked them, and it's been very successful for the last 2 years, for them to take the Certified Guiding Alliance course.
Right.
One that's on the LCI website. And over the last 2 years, like I said, everybody has done that. It gives them more of an insight on to handle different situations and how to work with clubs. In our district, we have 16 CEP coordinators, and we do an annual refresher course that we put on ourselves there, and the zone chairs are invited to that specific retraining just to give them some information as to what the whole program is all about. So those are two tools there that we use to assist our zone chairs.
Oh, that's awesome, OJ. Thank you.
Muted.
Is there any questions on this?
Okay. Have we lost you again, Chris?
I'm back again.
Oh, there he is.
Okay. Mike Murphy's looking for the Young Adult Recruiting Guide info. It's EX800.
Ah. Of course, we have the Just Ask Guide, too. And that's pretty extensive, actually.
Yeah, LCI, Tom, came out with a resource page I thought was very, very good that people could actually go on that one sheet of paper, and there's all kinds of direct links into Just Ask One. There's, how are your ratings? There's just everything on that one page, and I thought it was just an excellent document that LCI put out that we can just one click. You don't have to go onto the LCI website and work through the maze of different areas in there that we have to go through to get information. So I thought it was a great one. It may be something we should be sending out to all the zone chairmen to review and have a good handle on what's available for them to present to their Lions clubs.
What an awesome idea. That's a great idea, yeah. Yeah. I know that there is so much on the LCI site, but it's sometimes a little difficult to access it, to get at it. Because when you type in their search box, you get a whole bunch of entries that don't necessarily pertain to what you're exactly looking for. And that's maybe just because there's a whole lot on the site.
It is confusing, there's no doubt about it. It's frustrating at times, too.
Yeah. I know that some people will use Google instead and go to Google and say, I want the Ask Guide for Lions. They get it a lot faster than trying to find it through the site.
Definitely.
Okay. George Cherney just said we should change ask one till you get one.
That's a good one, George. Yeah, good for you.
another one we had last week, I was talking to somebody who was ask one and keep one.
Oh, yes. That's our drops are serious. Boy, I tell you, if we could cut our drops in half, we'd be doing pretty well.
Okay. We have a question coming in from Dennis. He's having trouble with his audio, so.
Denny?
Yep, from Dennis Stevenson.
Dennis Stevenson.
So I'm just waiting for it here. Okay. So. Okay. Okay, Dennis, you're unmuted.
Oh, okay. Hang on a second. Find my microphone. It
hasn't been used for so long, it got lost. I know, right from the beginning, it muted me, and then for a long time, I couldn't even get comments to be noticed. Just weird. This thing is weird sometimes. Anyways, carry on. At least I can hear, and if I have to, I'll dive in.
Chris, if there isn't... is Dennis going to make a comment here, or are we going to...
There are no more questions in the queue.
Okay, I think you've got me settled to kind of wrap things up here.
Yep.
We were online here from 8 till 9:30. We're getting very close to that time.
2 minutes.
Brian, I'd like, if you want to make a little comment before we leave and wrap up here as our GMT coordinator. I know Patty's not with us tonight.
Yes, I just wanted to again congratulate you, Terry, and Chris, and Tim for putting this show together.
Audio's disappearing again.
Just hearing ringing and not hearing any voice.
We hit the bombs and all.